Praise the Lord, family. Welcome to the Gift of Life show. Hey, I'm going to jump right into this Tony Evans book, God Cannot Be Trusted in Five Other Lies. And I added, and Satan's Five I Wills. And I hope you've been following me. If you missed any of the episodes, go to www.lovebyexample.com and you will see the current one listed first. And this is number four, that sin has no consequences. The number fourth lie, we've already covered number one, that Satan doesn't exist. We covered number two, that God can't be that God is holding out on you, and number three, that God can't be trusted. And now number four, that sin has no consequences. And this is part B. Okay, so if you missed any of them, just go back. But let me just open up with Psalms 91 really quick. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snares of fowlers and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings I shall take refuge. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at the noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I see and look at the reward of the wicked, because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even my Most High, my dwelling place. Isn't that awesome? That is Psalms 91, verses 1 all the way down to 9. So praise God. This is what I'm opening up this series with, Psalms 91. Now, with Tony's book, we're going to get right into it. We ended the last session about sin brings death. And Romans 6, oh my gosh, Romans 6:23. I won't go in detail on that, of course, but I'll tell you this. We have a group of people that are memorizing the chapter Romans 6, 7, and 8. But look what it says here in Romans 6:23. And this is a very familiar verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, just think about this. This is describing two absolutes. Spiritual death is a paycheck for every human being's slavery to sin. Because sin brings you into slavery. That's what it does. So remember we talked about what sin was according to the scriptures in 1 John chapter 3, 4. Whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness, and it brings you into slavery. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that's exactly what God offered Adam and Eve in the beginning. The tree of life. Freely eat, enjoy. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, hands off. And they chose the wrong tree. Remember, brothers and sisters, there's only two ways, two paths, two groups of people. And that's it. Just two. That's all. And we need to choose the right way. Hallelujah. Which is God's way. Now, let me just read two in my book on page 115, and do you see what I see? It says, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. See? Toxic lies from Satan. John 8:44, he's a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. He lies against God's word. That's why we need to be in God's word, to be able to let that light of God's word shine on those lies so we can cast them down and mortify them. And sin will capture you if you allow it. And it brings death. Now, let's just read what Tony Evans says here. Okay? He says, in the Bible, the word death doesn't always refer to physical dying, but sometimes points to separation from God and what follows that separation. When God said to the man and woman would surely die if they ate the forbidden fruit, it meant that they would be separated and alienated from him. It meant that a wall, a barrier, would be placed between them from that day forward. Sadly, Adam and Eve's sin led to multiple types of death, all of which were recorded in Genesis 3. Here's one of them. They died spiritually. Before Adam and Eve sinned, they enjoyed free and guiltless fellowship with God, but they sinned, and they brought in a different picture. Here, let's read this. And they heard the sound of the Lord was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees, Genesis 3:8. After Adam and Eve fell, they actually felt the need to hide from God. When we feel the need to hide from our Creator, rather than enjoy an intimate fellowship with Him, it's because spiritual death has taken place, because sin has created a wall, a barrier between you and your God. So, they died emotionally. God never intended Adam and Eve to know fear, guilt, and shame. But following sin, we see all three emotions in Adam's response to God. I heard the voice of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. There's the first mention of fear. Fear is one of Satan's favorite words and thoughts and emotions, and it holds so many people back from living in the divine destiny. Where before Adam and Eve had walked around the garden completely naked and felt no guilt, fear, or shame, now they were filled with all three. Adam and Eve died emotionally that day, just as you and I die emotionally when we sin. God wants us to be able to approach Him boldly. You know that, Hebrews 4:12, boldly, and enjoy Him in His presence. Unfortunately, many believers aren't able to do that because of their own emotional difficulties, like depression, anxiety, fear, guilt, shame. I mean, that's just to name a few. My psychologists call it all kinds of things. They got all kinds of labels and names on it. But bottom line, the root is, it is sin, okay? That's where it comes from. The root is sin, and it comes from Satan. And those worldly psychology or psychologists or philosophies can deal with that sin. That's where God steps in. Hallelujah. Thirdly, they died relationally. Sin resulted in all kinds of relational problems, including marriage, name-calling, finger-pointing. We see that in Adam's rationalization of his sin. The woman whom you gave me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. Genesis 3:12. There's the blame game. Okay, that's how that got started. He didn't take responsibility. It was no accident that Satan chose to go to Eve first as the attempt to bring about the fall of mankind. The devil knew that God had set up a family so that Adam would be the leader and the one in charge and the overseer. Genesis 2:15 and 23:24. And that he was given God's first commandment to mankind in Genesis 2:17. The devil knew that by bypassing Adam, who was supposed to lead, and going to Eve, would throw the whole man-woman relationship and all kinds of other relationships in chaos. And we see that today. Oh boy, we won't even go into that. So if you see relational problems, that's where it started from, back in the garden. Everything started back in the garden with those two trees. And it continues, but God has reversed the curse through Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:13. Hallelujah. We don't have to live like that, brothers and sisters. Okay, let me keep reading. They died economically. Listen to this. Before Adam and Eve fell into sin, Adam was more of a groundkeeper than a laborer. It was work, but it was work God blessed and made successful. But as the consequences of sin, work took on a completely different look. Look at this. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plant of the fields by the sweat of your face. You shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and dust you shall return. Whoa, okay. Genesis 3:17-19. Many people believe they are miserable at work because they don't like their boss, or because they don't like the work that they're doing. It doesn't seem fulfilling, or they don't like the co-workers there. But the truth is, as a consequence of sin, the whole world of work remains cursed to this day. That's the root of it. You know, and when you understand that and you see the blessing that God is giving you to not have to live in that through Jesus Christ, your workforce can be your ministry place. It could be your destiny if you begin to see it the way God sees it. And then he says they died directionally. Before sin entered the picture, Adam and Eve didn't have a worry about choices. I love this one. Listen to this. They had only one direction to go. Just think about that. If you just had one choice to make every day, just one, and it would be the right one. Wow. Whatever direction God was taking them, that was the one direction. But when they chose to sin against God, when they chose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their eyes were both open. Genesis 3:7. Adam and Eve had more information than they were intended to have. They now knew what sin and evil were. Wow. But how can we be worse off with more information, you might ask? Well, simply because in some ways, more information means less innocence. When a baby is born, the only thing he knows is that mom is there for him. But as he grows and matures, he has more choices and more information to work with. In time, he'll have to choose what is right and wrong. Before the fall, Adam and Eve never had to worry about that choice. Wow. It didn't take long for Satan's lie that sin had no consequences to be exposed, because it did. On the very day that Adam and Eve sinned against their God, they suffered the consequences, and the consequences of humankind suffer from this day since then. Wow, isn't that something, brothers and sisters? So see, sin does have consequences. Sin does have consequences. Let me read a little bit further. I got a little more time here. So those are some of the things that Tony Evans talks about what sin did. Sin, they died spiritually. Okay, they were disconnected from God. They were hiding instead of being close to him. And then they died emotionally. Remember, thoughts come in first. They heard the enemy. They didn't believe God. And then the enemy brought those emotions in, because thoughts have emotions, and emotions are the byproduct of how you think. And then they died relationally. They begin to fight against each other. And you know, that Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs, I think it's 11, where it says that all strife and anger, all that comes from pride. Everything. And James 3 talks about that too. That when people are fighting and arguing and they just don't seem like they can get along very good, it all comes from strife and anger. Yeah, it really does. And but see, because it comes from the nature and the source of Satan. And that's what he's all about, is fighting against God. Remember, we don't fight people, brothers and sisters. We fight principalities and powers, invisible forces. You know, when I was in the martial arts, I was trained to turn my body into a weapon like an arsenal weapon against people that could possibly be attackers. You know, I was taught to do that. But you know what? And I trained myself. I worked hard to make my body become a weapon. So each part of my body, my hands, my feet, my elbows, whatever it is that I could use to strike somebody that I thought that might meant me harm, I knew how to throw that technique, because that's the way I was trained to. But I was fighting, number one, the wrong enemy. I was fighting the wrong person, which was really the enemy, Satan, but I wasn't fighting him. I was fighting people, because that's what I was being trained to. But now that I'm born again, it says right here in Romans 6:13, that now I can present my members, my body parts, as instruments or weapons, because that's what that root word means, of righteousness now. Not of unrighteousness, but of righteousness. I can present myself because I'm alive from the dead, and my members now become instruments of righteousness to God. So even right now, as I'm talking to you, my mouth and all the preparation that we did to get here today to do this show, all my whole body parts is being used now as an instrument of righteousness. And I'm fighting by the power of the Holy Spirit, the second P, from my position, my first P. I'm fighting in the energy of the Holy Spirit, Satan, and sin. And this is why I'm doing the show, to help you see where all this started, so you'll stop blaming, stop hiding, stop being afraid, and stop being angry like Cain, Adam and Eve's son, where you murder in your heart. It's not about maybe you never murdered anybody physically, but it doesn't start there. That's the manifestation of anger. So Jesus says you get the same judgment as if you did murder somebody, as well as if you think it. That's in Matthew 5. It's not about what you do. It's about your attitude, the mindset, your disposition. See, when your position changes from darkness to light, and you stop eating from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you start eating from the tree of life, your disposition changes. When your position changes, that's our first P, your disposition changes. That's your attitude, your thought life. That's your mindset. You know, call it what you want, your mentality. You begin to change and see things totally different. But you have to first be in the Word. You got to first let the Word of God convict you. Repent of your sins that you have done, that you have thought, words or deed or action, and turn to Jesus. He'll give it to you. It's a free gift of life. That's what it says in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, maybe you're paying, you're getting paid back. You're getting these checks that are coming in your spiritual mailbox. And it could be depression. It could be sickness. It could be toxic friends. It could be bad memories. It could be, I don't know, all kinds of stuff that you don't really have to accept. But if you keep planting those seeds of sin and keep pampering those toxic thoughts and keep babying those egg eggs instead of hacking them off like Samuel did. See, Saul thought in Samuel 16, he thought he could just pamper the enemy, King Agag. He just thought he could just use him kind of like maybe a lap dog or something. I don't know. But Samuel said, I'm hacking this dude to pieces. That's why we wax off and wax on those toxic thoughts. We wax them off with the Word of God, and then we wax on the Word of God. So it's a continual renewing your mind as a born-again believer. That's why I keep reading this verse to you. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, that's getting that disposition. You got to get your old disposition out of you and get the new disposition from your position in you, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's how you get rid of sin. And you got to call it sin. You got to confess. It says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of your sins. He'll do that for you. You got to admit it. See, Adam and Eve didn't admit it. They were playing a blame game. Adam blamed Eve, and then Eve blamed the serpent. Nobody took responsibility. And then Cain, when he got mad at God for not accepting his offer, he got mad at God, blamed God, and then he got mad at his brother and killed his brother. Gosh, you see, brothers and sisters, I want you to choose life and live, and it's not too late. 2019 is right around the corner. We don't know how much time we have. We're not promised tomorrow, but we have today, and your choices that you make today will affect what you think tomorrow. That is a scientific and a scriptural fact. As a person thinks in his heart, so is he. You get to formulate your future. You get to enter in your destiny by choosing God and what he has already has in store for you. And that's what I want for you too. I want you to experience life, not death. And even when we die physically, it's just, man, we won't even know it. We won't even taste it. Scripture says we won't even taste it. Because we're just going to take that last breath and bam, and as soon, if you're born again now, as soon as you take that last breath, you're either going to enter in all eternity with God, peace and joy and love, and no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more anxiety, or you're going to enter in eternal separation in hell. And I say, hell is too long to be wrong. Why would I let sin... Now, reason with me, sisters and brothers. Why would I let sin take me to hell when God's offering full pardon and forgiveness through his son? It's like going to court and the judge says, you are guilty and I'm sentencing you to hell. And, you know, you can't pay enough to get yourself out, so you're going to hell. But then the judge takes off his robe and comes down and says, I'll take your place. I'll pay your debt. Go free. Wow. And you don't go free and you go, no, I don't want to go. I'm going to go to hell. See, something's wrong up there. And those are those toxic thoughts. Brothers and sisters, Jesus loves you. He died for you. It was God in Christ reconciling the world, reconciling you to him. But he will not force you like he didn't force Adam and Eve. He just said, who told you you were naked? He didn't force them. He didn't make robots. He came to Cain and said, hey, Cain, why are you angry? You know, why is your countenance fallen? He goes, if you do right, you'll be accepted. And before he could do it, he had to think it. So remember, everything starts with a thought. He says, if you think right, you'll be accepted. But Cain made the wrong choice. And too many today make the wrong choice because they don't know the voice of God. Brothers and sisters, get in the Word of God, because the Word of God is God-inspired, God-breathed, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. When you open up the Bible, don't just see it as words on a page. See it as God speaking to you. Even right now as I'm speaking to you, see the Spirit of God speaking to you, saying, come to the Father. Repent. Let him take care of you. Let him unfold his plan that he has for you. It'll be 10 times, a billion times better than the plan that you have. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your relationships. Trust God. Pray and seek his face. He will hear you and he will answer you, but you must trust him. It's a faith walk. You walk by faith and not by sight, but God loves you and he has a plan for you that only you can allow him to reveal. Hey, I gotta go now. This is concludes part 4 B, and then we will continue and finish up this lie that sin has no consequences. It does have consequences, because you know whatever you sow, you're going to reap. That's what that is. So if you reap to the flesh, which is doing things your way, doing things opposite of God's, then you're going to reap corruption. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't see any corruption, and I'm sinning away, and I'm just having a good old time in this sin. Yeah, that's a deception. You think you are. You really aren't. So Satan can trick and transform himself to make you think that, oh, this is just all good. No, brothers and sisters, it is sin. Remember, I don't want you to go to hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell, and sin will take you to hell. Just like I said in my book here, as I opened up, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. 1 John 3:4. Sin is lawlessness. God bless you. I love you, and I'll see you real soon.
Got you in a hole that you can't get out. The Lord's coming back, whose name you gon' call out? I doubt that the name of your mama gon' save you. Yes, sir, it's kinda major. See, with that life she gave you, you should've gave it back to the only one that loved you enough to send his only son. Should you get left behind, you gon' be lonely, son, cause you allow the sin in your life to overcome. Instead of moving like the feet of a running back, when it comes to sin, we ain't running back. When it comes to sin, do we done with that? For the life to a sin, ain't no son in that. And I'm talking about the S-O-N, not the S-U-N. You know the one that loves you even with that mess you in. We already know with the sin conception, spiritual separation in the form of deception. The fellowship you had with the Father is gone. The devil didn't make you do it, fam. You think it is wrong. It's sin. The sensation won't have you thinking things are fine, when in reality you walking around completely blind. Sin goes you to the Spirit of God, and that's the reason why you haven't been hearing from God. It's sin. The sensation will have you thinking things are fine, when in reality you walking around completely blind. Sin goes you to the Spirit of God, and that's the reason why you haven't been hearing from God. Hell-bound saint or a heaven-bound sinner. The lifestyle of sin will have you thinking you's a winner, but man, you's a loser. user. If you let the enemy use you, simply put, he's an abuser with the intent to accuse you. Sin is when you deviate from God's plans, and he knows this. That's why he opposes God's plans. But God chose us to live life and hold God's plans, like the blueprint that juice in. You know God's plans. While God is chasing, sin is erasing what was written in your heart. Then you are facing time and spaces with sin getting in your heart. Now you wanna hide, overcome with pride, chilling in the back room. Sin is a parasite sucking the life out of you just like a vacuum. In fact, gloom is what you can't expect. Kinda like the fees you gotta pay when you write a bad check. Yeah, sin entered the world from back in the garden, and from its captivity, y'all, we've been pardoned. But it's sin. The sensation won't have you thinking things are fine, when in reality, you walking around completely blind. Sin goes you to the Spirit of God, and that's the reason why you haven't been hearing from God. It's sin. The sensation will have you thinking things are fine, when in reality, you walking around completely blind. Sin goes you to the Spirit of God, and that's the reason why you haven't been hearing from God. The day begins, my soul is cleansed, immersed in a solution like a contact lens. And that solution is why I don't possess my sins. Power from on high reminds me to confess my sins. Yeah, come on, say this with me. Father, I fall short of your glory, and right now, God, I come to get it right with you. I confess that I've placed an excessive amount of trust in my own gifts, and this has interfered with my ability to recognize your grace, Lord. I confess that at times I've spurned love and have instead opted for fury. Master, I confess that lust for material gain and other worldly pleasures has caused my view of you to be distorted. I confess that I've intentionally avoided doing some of the very things you told me to do. But today, Lord, today I recognize that I have foolishly transgressed against you.